Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Weekend Nigerian Spirit of Nigeria Radio, positive Nigerian energy, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. And this is one of my favorite parts of the whole show. And this is when we get to talk to people about what they do and how they create impact in their workplaces or in their lives. Our guest today is Bumi Pratt. She's a HR professional, talent enabler, and diversity champion. Bumi currently works with the AP Moller Maersk Group as a talent and development partner, supporting businesses across West Central Asia and Africa, working within talent management, leadership development, engagement, and organizational culture. With over 12 years' experience, her experience in human resources spans across resourcing, talent management, change management, labor relations, organizational and leadership development, and cuts across several HR roles in a number of Fortune 500 organizations, fast-moving consumer goods industry, and most recently, transport and logistics industry. She previously lived in South Africa and is currently based in Dubai. Bumi attended Ahmadu Bello University, Zaria, where she attained a bachelor's in political science. She has multiple international HR institution affiliations and has completed several programs in leadership and human resource management from institutions like the prestigious E. Cornell University, USA. A strong advocate for diversity and inclusion in the workplace, Bumi is passionate about developing and creating opportunities for talent within Africa. Bumi is proudly Nigerian and loves to travel and experience new cultures. Bumi, welcome to the show.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
So if you want to employ somebody into your organization, do you guys go down the normal route of, okay, we're looking for these qualifications, we're looking for these soft skills, we're looking for these hard skills, we're looking at the potential of this person being able to do this? Or do you have a whole holistic approach where you first kind of have like a, and I guess this would also depend on the level in which the person is coming into the organization, where you have sort of like an informal chat. And from that chat, you as the person who is spotting the talent can kind of say, this person will be good for this role, even though this person has this qualification saying they're good for that.
Yeah, so talent acquisition is it does play a huge part in sort of the way that we execute on the strategy that we have. And in HR, you know, it's not one or the other. It's a combination of things. Obviously, we do have processes in terms of recruitment that we follow, but then again, like you've mentioned, depending on the level within which the person is joining, there are various ways to sort of, you know, how do we find talent? How do we attract them? You know, how do we put out a value proposition that people sort of want to come and work with our companies? And this is what HR does, right? So whether it's an internship program or going to universities to do some campaigns or sort of online presence. You know, there's a variety of ways that you sort of attract people. And of course, we do have recruiters, right? So their job is sort of, you know, actually then going and matching people with positions. And in the process, of course, they meet, you know, a variety of people. Sometimes you can engage them for a particular role. Sometimes you just sort of keep them in contact until some opportunity comes up. And then there's referrals as well, right? Where you have employees or agencies that are referring candidates. So it's not one answer. It's a combination of things that you have to do.
How do you, as a person, deal with that? And I'm talking in terms of knowing that you're not having just one avenue. I mean, how do you merge all that together to, one, make it work effectively and efficiently for you? Because for me, I'm thinking, I mean, you just mentioned now that they're recruiters. And in my head, I was thinking, gosh, when I started on the job market, I don't think there was anybody looking for anybody for a job. But I mean, so I'm in essence, your role is kind of made easier with the kind of people, the people that work with you in collaboration to get this to this stage. But how do you, as the top of the line, sort of speaking, for lack of a better phrase, manage all this?
So what it really is, I mean, we work together, right? As a function, we kind of all have our different roles.
Yes.
Yeah. And the whole concept of talent management sits within an ecosystem.
Okay.
Of course, there are different things within that ecosystem that you do, whether it's, you know, it's talent acquisition, like I mentioned, or it's development of the talent that you have, mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, the succession pipeline that you're building for that career progression for each of the individuals,
mm-hmm.
or it's performance management. So there's different things. And sort of what I do and focus on really today is around sort of the development.
Okay.
Leadership development, it's around engagement, it's around the culture, it's all those things that sort of enable, you know, the individuals to sort of perform at their best, put it in a simple way. Yeah.
Mm. I'm going to touch a bit on diversity now, because I'm just thinking as I'm speaking to you, I know that for a global corporation, you have people from all countries, from different countries, people who have probably never left their own hometowns, talk less of being moved somewhere halfway across the world where they're finding it hard to adjust first to the climate and to the country and then to the workplace. How do you get the best out of those kind of people who are, for lack of a better phrase, experiencing culture shock? How do you even spot it?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. And I think, you know, the bottom line is that diversity is about difference, right?
Yes.
And I think we know from research that the more diverse a team is, the more sort of productive they are.
Oh.
So it becomes important for us to spot the difference, but also to allow the difference, right?
Mm.
And I think that what HR or what organizations are doing now is really sort of understanding the different, I mean, the differences in diversity,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's cultural diversity, like you mentioned just now,
mm-hmm.
and really helping to create, you know, the avenues to A, understand it, to acknowledge it, to understand it, and to sort of, you know, make space for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So specifically, you know, we have a variety of things that we do again in our organization and other organizations as well are doing the same, right? And it is the degree to which you're successful that really sort of creates that trigger. So for example, you know, we have sessions where we're actually sharing just simple things around sort of this is the culture, the way it works in a certain country, and this is, you know, how it works in another country. So it might be around communication styles, for example, right? And the idea or notion that there's only one style fueled by culture is completely wrong, right?
Mm.
So then we bring those kind of things to the table where, for example, in certain countries and many African countries, we respect, you know, we respect hierarchy,
yes.
Seniority is important. And, you know, we sort of, you know, we defer to who is the senior, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's some level of experience and authority there. Where in other countries it's more flat, right? So,
yes.
So imagine that you're sitting in a team where the boss is actually the one from the African country. Then you have to appreciate that the style of communication will be completely different, and it's not because one is good or bad. It's just because that's how culture has formed that. So we help them through that and understand what is different. And how they can work with each other, right? So there are very many things to do, but those are some of the things that we do from a cultural diversity perspective.
So speaking of, still touching on this or still trying to elaborate on this, what happens to the person who can't, and this is for lack of a better word, I was going to say conform, but I'm thinking more than, what happens to the person who can't kind of adjust their perspective and find it difficult to move, to shift from where they are to where you want them to be? Or where you think they'll be better positioned for the whole organization, rather, not where you want them to be.
Yeah, I mean, we would like to believe, and my personal belief is that, you know, with enough sort of guidance and coaching and support, that, you know, people ultimately sort of, do good, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, we don't start, I don't start from that position. I'd rather start from, okay, identifying where are the gaps, you know, what's the blind spot, how can we help, right? And then work on those things together with the individual. Of course, there needs to be a willingness, right, on the side of the individual. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, I think people sort of have that come to Jesus moment, I think.
I like that. True. When the light bulb switches on. Very true. Very
absolutely.
True. Very true. So can you say that there are any major differences between working with an organization in Nigeria, for instance, and working with the same or a different organization outside of Nigeria, based on your experiences? Let's see. So you've worked in Nigeria, you've worked in South Africa, and you've worked in, and you're currently working in Dubai. Have you seen, are human beings the same wherever you go, irrespective of their diversity? Do they have all the same, and I know this may sound like a simplistic question, but do they have all the same mannerisms? For instance, you are coming in, and most of the time when you're working in the spaces, you are coming in from somewhere and joining this team, which has already kind of sort of established themselves. How do they receive you, and how do you infiltrate yourself into the workspace so that what your aim is, which is the overall aim for the company, to be able to achieve a balance, so to speak, comes to fruition?
Yeah. It's an interesting question, right? And I'm trying to make sure that I
sound, you're politically correct, eh?
Yeah, no, but also that it makes sense, right, for those who are listening.
Mm.
So I think, you know, one of the things that I learned very early on, and I referred early to my boss, the old boss I had, who had sort of pulled me into HR.
Mm.
I think one of the things I learned was that people are people.
True.
And they just, you know, we're all human beings with different cultural backgrounds and emotions, I guess the simple answer is that it's just how you position yourself and engage with your stakeholders. And that is something that in the last sort of 4 years of my working life, right, has become more and more critical. Sort of how do I engage with stakeholders? How do I sort of understand the different nuances, what's important to them? And how do I, you know, find the way to communicate, but also stay true to myself, right? Because there's something important about staying true to really who you are. And so that's how I've sort of tried to maneuver the landscape. It's not always been easy. In some roles, for example, in the last sort of company that I worked with, I joined the senior management team. I was the only female and the youngest, right?
Yes.
So how to find my voice? I mean, that was my first sort of hurdle. Because again, you know, I'm sitting there and thinking, these guys have experience, experience. They've been in the business. They know these things. You know, what am I going to bring to the table that would be different, right? Yeah. But I had a coach who helped me to sort of say, you know, you have a point of view and you have to find a way to bring it to the table. So again, it's been the different learning and just being able to say, okay, what is my voice, right? And where how can I engage with stakeholders to the degree that they actually want to hear what I have to say, and that when I do bring it to the table, it adds value. So I'm not sure how successful you've been, but I think still on that journey. Yeah, exactly.
So if somebody came to you and said, and this is going to lead into this, there's going to be a follow-up question with this. If somebody came to you and said, I want to do what you do, what would you say? And this is a young person who's probably in university reading something in the social sciences or studying something in social sciences and wants to be able to spot and nurture talent and develop that talent along the ways of the new world, which is diversity, everybody matters, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What would be the first thing you will say to this person?
I mean, first of all, this is not sort of reserved for a chosen few, right? That's maybe on the side, but generally, this is kind of where we say that, as a leader, as an individual, as, you know, this is what we should be doing, right? We should be recognizing, you know, people for, you know, what they bring to the table. And if we can then create the space for them to be able to do that. Now that's on that side. And what would I say? I would say, find your purpose, find your passion. And if this is it, then, you know, sort of, you know, just do it, right? Just get into the space. I mean, whether you're in HR or you're a business leader, right? Because also, business leaders, this is part of their job, right? Mm-hmm. To find and nurture talent, right? To be able to support the businesses that they either run or that they build. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things to do, but it really needs to be that this is something that comes from you and you recognize it as a purpose, right? Because then you have to really enjoy what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. So in spotting and nurturing talent, especially younger talent, how have you been able to sort of give back to for people to draw on your learning level of experience and to kind of coach people in this? Because, I mean, you can't go to school and read talent and diversity. So, or am I that backwards? And I do not know that you can go to school and read talent and diversity. So how do you nurture somebody? How do you pass this skill on?
I mean, you can actually, there are various courses and that you can take, right? And yes. And maybe it's not sort of talent and diversity, but different sort of the areas within talent management and sort of the landscape of that diversity and inclusion. But I think if I sort of try to answer the question is, for me, you know, when you asked me initially, remember I said, no, I'm not coming on the show.
Yes,
what am I going to say? And you had, you know, just think people like, you know, Dicko on the show. Mm-hmm. You had Brother Lukman the other day. Did I just say brother?
Yes, you did.
Well,
don't worry, I call
you
Brother Lukman.
You guys
as
know
well.
That I respect my elders, right? You know, so do I really consider myself as an expert? I'm not really sure, but what I do, or what I've done since I sort of came to accept that HR was a wonderful space to be in, right? Because it gave me the opportunity, is just, you know, to do just that, to know who I work with, whether it's sort of junior colleagues or my peers or, you know, my leaders, you know, and to be able to say, okay, where can I add value? Right. And I do coach. There are a few people that I sort of mentor over the years and just sort of help to, you know, guide, if I can put that put it that way, guide them through, right? But there's also sort of, you know, peer mentoring, right, where I'm also getting a peer who I consider to be great in a certain area to sort of coach me and share their experience, right? And also, of course, then when working with bosses, then you pick up one or two things, right, that you can also then share with others. So it's you know, it's different things, right?
It's like a circle of life, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what it is, right? And the more you give, right, the more that you can get, and at least that's the concept that I have in my mind, right? That the more I sort of give off, the more that I can get, and yeah.
Wow. So working in a company that is rated almost, well, let me think that you probably are rated number one in the world in terms of logistics. How has that kind of broadened your outlook? I mean, and, you know, I know that a couple of years ago or earlier on in the last year, I was watching a few programs and I realized that it's a huge corporation. And you know, when I think of HR, I think, you know, that person is just, you have to know everything about everybody in the company. And I know that there's a team and et cetera, et cetera. But how does that wheel, or how does that car run without major challenges? And I know there will be, I mean, it's impossible for things not to have challenges. I know there will be some sort of hitches here and there. How does that wheel run almost smoothly? Is it with this function of, so is it that you can say sort of, yes, we work in a team, but is it that you can say that this talent, this managing, this HR, this diversity is kind of like the fulcrum on which everything balances?
No, so we have a strategy, right? As an organization, right? And that's kind of how we build our HR strategy. And this is kind of how it works down the line. And this is how all organizations work, right?
Yes.
So you start with what is the business trying to achieve? And then as HR, you know, our role is to develop a strategy, interventions that support that, and that's what we do. So if I take engagement, for example, and we say, hey, you know, we recognize the role that engagement plays in sort of creating the right environment for employees, and we want therefore to be positioned at a certain quartile, you know, in engagement as an organization, then we think about what are the initiatives that we need to do to drive that, and how do we make sure that we have, you know, the employee voice included and the feedback loop. So it's different things, and I can only say that, you know, our job, at least my role, is really supporting the overall HR strategy, but also the organization strategy, right? That's clearly aligned. So how are we, what kind of business are we going into? What is our growth strategy? How do we, you know, what markets are we going into? Mm-hmm. How do we find, you know, the skills and that we need? But also, you know, how do we create environments where people are working virtually today, right?
Yes.
How do we create the right support for individuals so that they can be, you know, more productive, but also be, you know, be able to balance their lives, mm-hmm. you know, as it is
as
today.
It is true.
So those are the different things that we do. But again, it's not like you mentioned, right? It doesn't always work smoothly, and our we just need to keep fine tuning, right?
Yes.
What works, you know, how did it work? Let's institutionalize that learning. If it didn't work, let's go back to the data and do something new.
So it's a continuous process. It's an ongoing. So it's just like a wheel rolling. You know, you throw something in, it moves smoothly, and then you're fine. And you throw it in, and it causes a clink, and you bring it out, and you're like, okay, no, this didn't work. Let's just try something else, et cetera, et cetera.
And it's people, right? Yes. Remember, I said in the beginning, this is why I didn't want to
talk about people.
You know, so you have to always get comfortable with that feedback, right? And learn to work with it.
I know, because I mean, what one person, you're talking to two, three people about the same subject, and how they all come back to you with how they see it could be three different poles of, and you're thinking, okay, how do we leave this room without throwing somebody out the window? And that, so you truly have to be passionate about people, and you have to be able to see beyond their facade.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
One of the things that the, at least for me, that the pandemic has sort of call it, has sped along faster into the workplace, is sort of this human, you know, we're human, all sort of now humans, right? Yes. And we're recognizing that, you know, people are mothers and people are wives, people are sisters, and you know, people are daughters, you know, or sons, you know. Yes. But it's really helped us to bring that to the workplace, and it's now okay. I mean, you sit on calls, right? And people have their pets or their kids coming in, and I mean, years ago this would never have been
a boo-hoo. Accepted,
right?
No way, man.
Exactly. And now we're not judging. Huh? We're not judging.
Exactly.
Even bad hair days are not
I know.
So I think, yeah, it's just about people. And I have been fortunate to work in multinationals, right? So that has really given me a different perspective from very early on. And I think that perspective is what has helped at least me be able to look at diversity differently, right? I'm lucky, right? Because not everybody has that opportunity, but I think that really has helped me to come faster into this space of difference is good, right? It's not always easy,
yes.
But difference is good.
You just reminded me of something you said earlier on when you said that you have, from data and experience, you have realized that those differences are actually, when put together, are more productive. I'm kind of struggling with that because I'm thinking, I mean, yes, I know that in some cases it works. Well, of course, it's not foolproof. But does that mean, in for you, does that kind of mean that the outcome is more productive because everybody's coming from a different angle, but doesn't that prove to be time wasting?
Yeah, it's a good question, but again, this is, I mean, the research is out there, right?
Yes.
Fact. So teams that are more diverse produce better results. And this is for exactly that reason, that everybody has a different viewpoint, right?
Yes.
And therefore, you know, the output is infinitely better than one person or one way of looking at a problem.
True.
So if you imagine, you know, trying to solve a problem and being the only one with one type of idea, right? But then, you know, on the flip side, you put that problem on a table with, you know, different five people from that look at it from different angles. I mean, you're more likely to get a better solution, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the idea, that we're allowing everyone to have a say. Yeah, does it slow down? Not necessarily.
Okay.
Because if you're able to then create a way of working that allows, you know, whether idea generation or problem solving or what have you, Then you can ultimately speed it up. But I think it's more about the output, right, that you're looking for rather than speed. I mean, speed is not always sort of the end game. Thing. Yeah. Yes.
True. Yeah. True. Oh, wow. So in terms of diversity, I'm going to go back to diversity again. And I'm going to kind of throw a curveball. So don't worry, I won't go where you don't want to go. Don't worry. Relax. You're all right. So
I will plead the fifth.
I know.
Even though I'm Nigerian.
I know this. Honestly, if you were to choose within working, and Nigeria has its pluses. I mean, this is me standing up for Nigeria. If you were to choose within working in Nigeria and working outside of Nigeria, I mean, also bearing on the fact that you got your kind of your foray into diversity and in HR from working in Nigeria, which would you choose? Would you be comfortable working? And this is in thinking in all things. So work ethics, people, the environment, the workspace. Do you find that it's easier to work in or out?
But you know that I'm going to be politically correct, right?
Yes, I know. But I know that something will also come out of it. So,
No. So to be honest, I don't think it's about Nigeria or outside. Mm-hmm. I really think, and I spoke earlier about the culture of an organization. Mm-hmm. So when I sort of go in looking at a job, right, at least the jobs that I've had, that's the question that I'm asking myself. You know, what are the values of this organization? What is the culture? You know, where can I add value, right? And whether it's in Nigeria or somewhere else, then if I can answer to those questions, then I'm okay to work there, right? For me, it's very important, the culture of an organization. It's very important, the values. And if I cannot align with them, irrespective of where that job is, then it's not for me, right? Having said that, I love working outside of Nigeria. Mm-hmm. I love that I can bring my perspective from Nigeria to other places. Mm-hmm. So I will continue on that path until otherwise. Yeah.
But you did, and I knew you were going to bring something out of it. You did touch on something which is not something that a lot of people think about when they're looking for jobs. You need to be able to understand the work ethics and the culture of the organization that you want to work with. If it does not align with who you are and what your principles are as a human being, then most likely you will not be productive in that environment, irrespective of where it is. And
yes, but I
go ahead.
But I think, and sorry to sort of cut in there, but I think it's also maybe a bit. What word am I looking for? Because I not many of us are lucky to be able to say, you know, I'm just going to stick with a certain company and because their values, da, 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 you know. I think again, when the reality of life is that you are without a job and you need to work and, you know, then of course people have to make certain decisions, and or compromises. You can maybe not always be lucky, right? But it is important because, like you say, I think recognizing, for example, that you join a company where you're going to change the core of you, because of the way the values and the culture is, you know, recognizing that and early on and being able to sort of, you know, do something about that is I think is important, right? Because you cannot then expect to stay in that company for a long time without changing who you are. So that's the sort of, you know, look in the mirror and say, am I okay with this? And if you are, then it's okay. But if you're not, then you know, you start the journey to go somewhere else, right? Or to do something else, right?
Hmm. Okay. That answered, you see, I knew you were going to answer very intelligently.
I always try.
Okay, so you have said that you are, and I know you're passionately Nigerian. If you had, this is one of those questions that when they ask, I'm like, I do expect to answer this question, but you know, I know you're capable. So if there was one thing that you could influence in the growth of Nigeria, what would it be?
Just one.
Start with one.
That is tough.
Unless they are joined together. But,
No. But I think for me, you know, what I would love to see work differently, right, is how we have a lot of talented people, right? We have human capital. Nigeria, I just feel like we have so many, many, many talented people, right? That how do we harness this and create a better country for ourselves, right? That is one of the things I would say. And of course, I'm putting up my hands. How can I do that? How do we do that? Because this is where I just don't think we're making progress fast enough, and we're losing, you know, talent within Nigeria that could actually be the one solving the problems that we have and that are coming up in the next centuries, right? So this is where I think, you know, how can we do this faster, better, you know, bigger, you know, with more of the brains that we have in it.
I do agree with you because I was saying earlier, I was sharing earlier on in the studio how the Uber rider that brought me was lamenting about how he was arranging himself and getting ready to go and just take himself and his family, that, you know, is because of this and that he's now riding Uber. And I thought to myself, you know, in my head, I was thinking, why are you still here? And I did ask him that. And then I thought to myself, just because he wants to leave, and his major reason for wanting to leave is peace of mind. And I'm like, wow, you know, truly, where if somebody has been working here and doesn't have the peace of mind and has the opportunity to find that peace of mind somewhere else, I mean, of course he will take it. He will jump and run at it. He could continue to try as much as possible to make it work here, but the bottom line will be his mind is already set on leaving. So really, that's working on it. It might not even be an option for him. He's not going to be open enough to hear you, unfortunately. So I do strongly agree with you that we do need to find a way to heighten or quickly deploy the talent that we have, because Nigerians are very productive. They think outside the box so fast. Sometimes my mind spins, and it's from young, you know, people are coming up with ideas that you're thinking, how did they even come up with that in the circumstances that they're in? And truly, it is mind-boggling. So if there was one other thing you could pick, what would it be? Being that you said, is it only one?
No, I mean, there's a lot that sort of spins off from that, right? Mm. I mean, one more thing that I wanted to add is Nigerians are extremely resilient,
yes,
right? And at least For me, learning through the pandemic is that one of the things that has become sort of critical is your resilience, right? And how you can adapt to different scenarios. So don't get me wrong, there are people doing amazing stuff out there in Nigeria. I mean, I'm constantly trying to stay abreast with, you know, what's happening in the technology space, for example, you know, what's happening in entertainment. And so it is not that we're not doing, it's just when you think about, you know, compared to the population, there could be a lot more opportunities. And I'm sort of hoping, you know, one of the things that I speak about myself is I want to be known as someone who is helping to sort of, you know, whether highlight or enable or connect, you know, talent across. And, you know, and so I sort of always raise my hand and say, okay, how can I help? You know, what can I do? You know, who do I need? Who can I talk to? I'm always trying to do that. Yeah.
So when you go out in Abuja, in Dubai, I beg your pardon, you are proudly, because you are proudly Nigerian. So, I mean, when they look at you and they ask you where you're from, you are almost standing on the table and shouting, I'm Nigerian and I'm proud and I like it. And so you're selling Nigeria the best that you can. Do you see that you come up against, you know, thinking that have been established, you know, you're from Nigeria, really? Isn't that the country where they, is there any sort of... what's the word that I'm looking for? No, discrimination. Thank you, Temitope. Have you encountered any sort of discrimination against you personally?
I think, again, the way that I look at my perspective is always different, right? So maybe it was intended as discrimination and maybe I missed it. Some days I could be blonde. So, yes. But I think what, of course, people will respond to you based on how much knowledge they have, right? Yes. So my thing is always, if you don't know, let me tell you. If you haven't heard, let me share with you. Let me show you what it is that we do. I mean, I'm proudly Nigerian, but I'm also proudly me. Yes. Right. So I'm a human being. I'm Nigerian by nationality. I'm female by gender. You know, so it's you can't sort of use exactly. I come with the full package. So yes, I am sort of always trying to sort of bring out the part of Nigeria that people may not know. And the parts that they know sort of put some perspective to it, right? We're over 150 million people, right? You do not expect that we don't have people that are bad in Nigeria or any country. So don't use that as the lens that you bring to me. Yeah. We also have great stars, right? So yes. Why don't you use that as the lens that you look at me, right?
I could be a superstar, you know?
I know that. But I get different questions, right? It's from footballers to, you know, musicians to, you know, and they think, you know, so for example, people say, oh, you don't sound Nigerian. I'm like, what is that Nigerian sound that you know?
True.
You know, you probably know one person and then you think that we all talk
alike.
The same, right?
Exactly.
Or they ask me, oh, do you know this footballer? I'm like, do you know how many million people we are? I mean, the guy does not know me. So, you know. So again, it's again bringing perspective into things, and you know, I don't judge, I don't take offense because you don't know. So let me tell you, is kind of the approach that I like to start with.
At least I like that. Okay, so I'm going to close on two or three questions, and these are personal questions. What's the one thing you miss about Nigeria?
Jollof rice. Actually, no, it must be puff puff. Or, I mean, the list is endless, right? But it's just, just not being able to go and buy popcorn or go to a wedding. Actually, it's weddings. It's Saturday morning, tying gele, makeup. My Mooney girl would have come and done my makeup, you know, where I should be. Yeah.
Imagine
sorry,
that.
Guys. Memory lane.
I know.
Memory lane.
Oh, that is so cool. It's nice to know that positions have opened up in the workplace and in people's lives where they can best utilize what they have and give back to communities and people. I mean, and also finding out that there's a whole lot more that they can do, that they have in deep within them, that they can do and bring out and show people that things are possible. I mean, we started this interview with you saying they're people, they talk back. And this is you who have probably interfaced with only God knows how many people over the last years, over the years of your working life. And you have come out most of the time better for it. And you are able to look at it with an open mind. That is not something that one should play with. That is something that is commendable. I'd really like to thank you once again for this interview. And I hope that we shall be speaking to you again, maybe not too soon, because you might just run away from me.
Exactly.
But truly and honestly, thank you so much. You gave us a completely different perspective, and we're truly grateful. I trust you'll have an interesting rest of your afternoon. And go and cook some jollof rice.
And I also want to say thank you, right? One of my friends was saying to me when they saw the poster that, you know, it rings differently when your sort of craft is recognized by family. So, thank you for this opportunity to share some of my thoughts. Speak to you soon. Thanks,
right.
Guys.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Bye.
All right. So we've just finished chatting with Bumi Pratt, who is, I have to read this right, you know, so that tomorrow she does not kill me. So she's a HR professional, talent enabler and diversity champion. And she currently works with AP Moller Maersk Group as the talent and development partner.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.